it rained a lot in May. In the middle of the month, I went to the Revelstoke Museum Heritage Garden on a wet Wednesday morning. That's the day volunteer gardeners meet. I met with one of them, Linda Dixon.
Volunteers here. This is Megan from Stoke FM.
Oh, hi.
She's doing a little.
We're just doing a garden tour and learning about the history.
I know gardeners show up all the time, even if it's raining.
That's right.
Yeah, I'll just right out of your way.
So this, I'm just gonna show. This is kind of where we keep all of the tools and items for planting.
Before we went outside, Linda flipped through a photo album to show me the transformation of an old back alley to what is now a gentle, cool green space downtown.
It is beautiful, isn't
it? Very cool, yeah.
And it's amazing how many plants are in here.
Very much. It's a very small space.
Linda has learned a lot about gardening and plants that grow around Revelstoke from her time volunteering.
So this is our native plants, and we don't have all of them, but we have a lot of them. So,
like every native plant in British Columbia?
No,
or
just
in the area,
yeah. And not everyone, just some that we could put in here. And this trillium is so beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
The Western Trillium. It happens to be Kathy English's favorite plant. She's the curator of the museum and one of the forces behind the creation of the back alley garden. She showed me around yesterday. Now the trillium blossoms are wilted, but the azaleas are just starting to bloom.
Yeah, it's just after 2 o'clock, and most of the garden is in full sunlight, except for a couple of areas that are shaded by the building itself. I was out here at lunch, and the one bench I was sitting at was fully shaded then. Now it's in full sun. So we actually do get quite a bit of sun here. The gardeners have learned which plants thrive and which ones don't work as well. We have a bed right over here.
Kathy describes how the museum worked with a local landscape architect in the early 2000s. They came up with a design to suit the long, narrow strip of land between the Brick Museum and Stucco Commercial Complex, buildings that loom 2 and 3 stories over the garden. The garden opened in the summer of 2004. It cost $40,000 to build. The museum got in-kind help from the city of Revelstoke. They also got grants, none bigger than $5,000, though. Most of the money came from locals, in increments of $10 or more. This before the days of online crowdfunding.
We did it by just selling a brick, is what we called it, but they didn't get an actual brick or... But it was a way of everybody having an opportunity to support the garden. So we got a lot of really strong community support.
The garden's evolved since 2004. Each change meticulously documented in the photo album and diagrams Linda Dixon showed me. There are vegetables and berries growing against the back fence, and every plant has a story behind it.
So we have strawberries, and the reason that we planted strawberries is because what a lot of people don't realize is that strawberries were once the biggest cash crop in Revelstoke.
No way.
Yeah, there were huge farms that had huge strawberry fields, and they were selling them to Calgary, and they'd put them on the train and ship them off to Calgary and sell them in the local grocery stores. So we wanted to make sure we had strawberries in our garden. We have a rhubarb plant that's just pretty much finished for the season, but it actually came from the garden of a man named Charlie Singh, who was a Chinese market gardener back up until the 1950s and was beloved by the community because he would help out families that were in trouble or that needed extra help. He'd leave vegetables on their door, give the kids rides in his horse-drawn cart. We've got a few tomato plants in there, and that's kind of representing sort of the Italian garden history. There's the Italian gardeners in town, have incredible gardens, and they actually are very proud of their, especially their tomatoes. They focus on Roma tomatoes, which is the one ones they use for their sauces. But some of the Italian gardeners have produced these absolutely enormous, you know, beefsteak tomatoes too. And so we wanted to make sure that heritage was reflected in the garden as well.
I love tomatoes. They're my favorite.
Who doesn't? We have a rose bush here that was quite enormous. They just pruned it down quite a bit this year because it was getting out of hand. But it's a it's actually called the David Thompson rose. And it was a rose that was bred. There was, a whole series of roses that were bred for in honor of Canadian explorers. And so we decided that our garden should have a David Thompson rose because he was the one that mapped and explored the Columbia River.
What color is it?
It's a pink. It's very close to a wild rose.
Yeah. That seems fitting.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. It's not more a cultivated rose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And we do. We have a little wooden arbor here with grapevines. So every year grapes are harvested, and some of our board members make grape jelly, and everybody gets grape jelly. So,
very cool. I see that you have peonies. Is that what those are? About to bloom. Those are so beautiful.
Peonies, they're very showy flower, very beautiful. A couple of the peony plants that we have came from pioneer families that have been here for a long time. So we have some of the plants we have are what we call heirloom plants. So they came from, they're propagated from older plants. Some of them are just purchased plants, but they're varieties that would have been planted in gardens around the early 1900s.
After the grand opening of the garden in the summer of 2004, the community came up with its name by consensus, the Heritage Garden, to celebrate growing heritage in our community.
Another thing that a lot of people don't realize is that before the dams were put in, there was a lot of agricultural land here, and that land was flooded. And now there's a lot of really wonderful sort of micro farms in town, and they're doing great work. But there's not the huge, 20, 40-acre farms that there used to be in that day. So we wanted to, this was sort of remembering the heritage of agriculture in the valley and just plants as well, because even the very earliest settlers, they were growing flowers too.
The volunteer gardeners have learned which plants thrive and which don't do as well. Kathy shows me the native plant section and her favorite, the Western Trillium.
It's just on its way out now. It comes out when it blooms. There's these bright white leaves or bright white flowers, and then they get a little bit of a purple pink on the ends of the blossoms, and then they fade out altogether, or they wither away. But it's really a stunning plant.
There are plants whose ancestors grew in early settler gardens.
We also have a little bit of Lily of the Valley up here that came from the garden of a woman named Eva Byrne. And her garden she passed away many years ago. And her garden has been completely removed from the property. But at one time she had a wildflower garden. So she would get plants from Mount Revelstoke, and which is illegal, but yeah.
Was it illegal then?
Might have been, but nobody worried too much about it. But anyway, she had, and probably from other areas as well, but she had a wildflower garden, and it was quite delightful. She was a local school teacher and loved teaching science, so she would bring in flowers and plants. And we actually have a bug collection that she acquired that she used in her class as well. So she would teach natural history from things from her garden.
Very cool. And it seems in a way with the plant section, the plants that are from here, native to here, and with the heritage plants that are passed down from people like Eva Burns, it's like you're trying to kind of do an interpretive history as well.
Yeah.
I'm curious, you mentioned that the peony and a lot of have been passed down. Can you talk a little bit about that history of plants being passed down from person to person?
Yeah, it's called like heirloom plants. So it's just like you'd pass down like a teacup or something or an embroidery from grandmother to granddaughter. It's another way of sort of preserving that history, but it's a real living plant. And so there's, even though that it might, not be the original plant, it's sort of propagated from that. And it's just cool. You know, it's really neat to be able to keep the plants continuing in that way and know that we have things in the garden that have their origins back 100 years ago or so.
Both at the back and front of the garden, you'll see columns made of bricks. They have a story as well.
So the posts at the front, the bricks came from the old Canadian Pacific Railway station that was replaced in 1978 by the concrete block station that's there now. And the bricks at the back came from the Queen Victoria Hospital, which was located where Save-On Foods is now, the original hospital. So we were able to sort of preserve a little bit of building history in this spot as well.
Kathy and Linda are proud of the Heritage Garden.
We see so many people out here. I was out here for my lunch today, and there was another family having lunch. There were people walking through, enjoying the garden. Quite often there'll be families coming through, the kids play in the sandbox, and the moms can sit and watch the kids. And it's a little oasis in the downtown, and we're really proud of it and really pleased that we can offer the space to the community.
Keep an eye on the museum website. Kathy is doing downtown walking tours and cemetery tours this summer. If you look under the section for adults, you'll see the schedule. A Thursday morning children's camp starts in July called Heritage Explorers. Go to www.revelstokemuseum.ca to find out more. And if you're interested in volunteering and learning about gardening and plants, show up at the garden at 9 o'clock on Wednesday mornings. For Stoke FM in the Heritage Garden in downtown Revelstoke, I'm Megan Dooling.